Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, March 12th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Yesterday, we started a new book, the Book of Exodus, but we had guest readers, so I wasn't able to say to you what I usually say. Go to the Bible Project website and look at the videos on Exodus if you have time, just to get kind of a recap of what the book of Exodus is about. And so let us read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The title in my Bible says, The Birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." I'm so excited that we have entered the book of Exodus because I have been doing a Bible study called God of Deliverance by Jen Wilkin with one of the growth groups. And it has been so rich to think about God as our deliverer. And all throughout the story, we see pictures of his deliverance. Today, it's just a beautiful, I just imagine myself in the scene. Moses' mom is scared to death because the Pharaoh is going to kill all the Hebrew babies. She cannot hide Moses any longer, so she makes a basket. Did you notice what she makes it out of? Pitch and tar, I think it is. Those are reminiscent of the ark that was God's means of salvation for Noah, and she puts him in the water. Now, it doesn't say this in the text, but I tend to think that perhaps she knew that Pharaoh's daughter bathed in a certain place at a certain time on the riverbank of the Nile. And so maybe, just maybe, she put Moses in Pharaoh's daughter's path. And then the story just continues in a beautiful way. Pharaoh's daughter takes up the baby and is looking for someone to nurse him. And Miriam comes along and says, "I know a woman." And it ends up that Moses' mom is able to nurse him. And then she's actually paid for it. So that's pretty great. Anyway, I look forward to reading alongside you and seeing how God works in the life of Moses. Now let's move on to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 81. For the director of music, according to Gittith of Asaph. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the timbrel. Play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon. And when the moon is full on the day of our festival, this is a decree for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statute for Joseph. I heard an unknown voice say, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Don't you just love when the Bible passages connect that we are reading? So we've started out with Exodus, and here in the Psalm, it talks about God hearing the cries of the Israelites. He says in verse 6, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called, and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. And so he goes on to talk about the Exodus events, and then after the Exodus, the wandering in the desert. But I thought that was just kind of a happy serendipity that we read this psalm today in light of the fact that we are beginning the story of Exodus. Let's turn now to the Gospel of John. Today we're in John chapter 14, and we'll be reading the final half of this chapter, starting in verse 15. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me. And I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Here in this passage in John, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And when he leaves this life, so when he goes through death and resurrection and ascension, then he's going to put in the hearts of each of those who love him his Holy Spirit. Amanda and I were talking about how this passage used to scare her when it talked about, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Because every time she did something wrong, she would be like, oh man, that means I don't love God. But now she sees this text a little differently. In fact, she sees that a life of obedience flows from the heart of love. So first, we must love God, and that must be our focus. And out of love, then we in turn obey, because we see the fruit of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and we want to live lives of gratitude in response to what he has done. And so with a heart of thanksgiving, I'm going to turn to the general thanksgiving, which is in the Common Book of Prayer. And I thought we might pray it together. And one of the ways that I pray this prayer is I listen to one of the verses and then I repeat it aloud to kind of keep my focus on it. So I invite you to repeat what I say aloud as we pray together. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory throughout all ages. And all God's people said, Amen.